You've got a copy of God's Word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And this evening we're looking at the third study into the unseen realities of heaven. And as we do, we'll be looking at two questions that we want to ask. First question will be, when we get to heaven, will we recognise people who are there? And the last question we'll be looking at is, will we be male and female in heaven? And that second question will become more apparent as we go through the Bible study. Before we do that, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read from verse 35 to the end of the chapter. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he is laying out to them the resurrection of the dead, because there were those who believed that there would not be a resurrection and that your soul or spirit would go to be with the Lord. But Paul actually lays out there will be a physical resurrection. And that is also confirmed, not just by Christ, but will happen to us in the future. And verse 35, he's talking about what will happen to all those who have trusted in Christ, who have died. What will happen to their bodies once they've been buried or cremated? And this is where we come in verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life until it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. And so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust, and as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not be all asleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. We're looking at this question to start with. When we get to heaven, will we recognise people who are there? We have looked previously in our first session that heaven is a place, it's a home, it's the dwelling place of the Lord God Almighty. It's where God dwells as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is a definite place that we are looking forward to being with. We also look to the fact that whilst we live here on the earth, we are being prepared. We are living out of a suitcase. We are looking at our destination, our home in the future, to be with God forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, how do we live? Well, we live out of a suitcase. We are strangers. We are immigrants. We are being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit through the work of sanctification to prepare us for that time when we spend eternity with God. And we looked at three states that we live in: the good, the better, and the glorious. The good is our life in Christ now, whilst we live our lives, whilst we raise our families, whilst we live in a family context, where we live in a New Testament church, but are going to be a better, far better place when our souls will be with the Lord. When we die, that is not the end. Yes, our body might be going to the grave, our body might be cremated, but our souls will be with the Lord, which is far better. And then we are looking forward to the day when Christ comes again, and that time we'll have resurrected bodies. When Christ comes again, he will call all those who have loved him and chosen and elected by him to be raised from the dead. And our bodies will be reunited with our souls. So when we get to heaven, will we actually recognise one another? And I've got 3 points on the handout for you. First of all, there's a lack of detail, and that's me being honest with what we have in the scriptures. Secondly, there's a lack of human covenants, and I'll explain what that means. And then in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, we have a great deal of clarity. So we're starting off with this sort of lack of clarity and detail, and we're moving to more definitive clarity in God's word. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John writes briefly about heaven. And John writes this, he says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." You see, John is saying there that he's looking forward to when Christ comes again. When he appears, he will be like Jesus. But here and now, even the Apostle John, one of the disciples, had a lack of detail. He says, "But we know that when he appears, we should be like him as beloved children, but what we will be has not yet appeared." You see, he's looking forward to the day when he will have a resurrected body. But as yet, that has not appeared. So in the meantime, he's going to be faithful. And he's looking forward to that day when he will be like Jesus. Why? Because you shall see him as he is. Remember, Jesus is ascended into heaven. He has a resurrected body. He is at God's right hand side. And he has already gone before us. He's the first fruits. He is the first one to God. He's our role model. And as we will have resurrected bodies, we will be like his. So there's a lack of detail as to what exactly we will have as a resurrected body, but we'll go a little bit more into detail. But some of you, people say, what will we wear? What sort of clothes will we wear? What colour hair are we going to have? Am I going to have more hair than I currently have? Will I have darker hair because my hair's gone grey and white? And all those sort of questions. We don't know. There's a lack of detail. Because what will be has not yet appeared. Even John acknowledged that. And then we also have to recognise there's a lack of human covenant. In Matthew 22, Jesus is speaking to some of the Sadducees who believe that there is no resurrection. And they try to catch him out with this conundrum that if a man dies and has no children, his brother must marry his widow. And they go through this little scenario where there's seven brothers and they've been married to this one woman. They've not had children and they all die. What's going to happen in the resurrection? Whose wife will she be? Verse 28 of Matthew 22. But Jesus says in verse 29, you are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. In other words, they were trying to catch Jesus out by applying a Levitical rule that if a brother died and he had, sorry, if a man died and he had a brother, his brother could marry his wife to keep the family line going, to keep the inheritance going, to keep the land in possession of the family. But they were misapplying scripture because they're trying to catch Jesus out about the resurrection. And he says, you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. And verse 30, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. You see, Jesus gives us a clear definition here that in heaven there will be a lack of a human covenant. That human covenant is marriage. There will not be those given in marriage in heaven, and there will not be weddings. We shall be like angels in heaven. You see, our joy, our pleasure will not be found in a human covenant, but with a covenant of the living God. Yeah, across the question. If you've been married 40, 50, 60 years, will you be married to your spouse in heaven? Well, the answer is no, you won't. But you'll still enjoy the friendship, you'll still enjoy that companionship, you'll still enjoy that beauty of knowing one another, but not in a human covenant. Because your satisfaction, your intimacy is with the Lord our God. He is the one who is actually going to be our God. He is a living God for those who are living. And as we've resurrected bodies, we will actually be like angels in heaven. But there's something we need to clarify there. And that's why I've chosen the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because here, Paul lays out for us what it's like for us to be in heaven with resurrected bodies. Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes that our citizenship is in heaven and that Jesus will transform our lowly bodies. So our bodies as such will be transformed. They will be changed. So when we get into heaven, there will be our bodies, but they will be transformed and changed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find six realities about our resurrected bodies in heaven. The first one, we shall have a real heavenly body. Have a look at verse 36 to 41. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that's to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps a wheat or other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, to each kind of seed its own body. You see, what Jesus is saying here, that if you plant a seed, What comes out of the ground as a plant looks nothing like the seed. It's been transformed, but it's in a sense still the seed, because as it matures and grows, it produces more seed that replicates exactly the seed that you've sown in the ground. And when we actually come to have a resurrected body, we'll have a real heavenly body. What does that mean? Well, we'll be able to feel and touch, taste, sense, speak, and sing. When you read the book of Revelation, and those who are going to be in heaven in glory, surrounding the throne, are those who are speaking God's praises and singing God's praises. We'll be able to articulate, we'll have voices, we'll be able to taste the good things that God has given to us. We'll be able to feel God's presence because he'll be with us. We'll have a real body that you can hold on to and touch. When Jesus had a resurrected body, he demonstrated that body to Thomas and said, "Thomas, look, touch my side where the spear went in. Touch where the nails went through my hands." He then ate a couple of meals with the disciples, one in the upper room and also on the beach. He had a real body. And if Jesus is the first fruits, then when we come into glory to heaven, we'll have real bodies. We won't be spirits. We won't be see-through. We won't be transparent, but we'll have real bodies, but we'll be heavenly bodies. And we find that in verse 14. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. In other words, there will still be the essence of our bodies, but made whole, as God intended. Secondly, we'll have imperishable bodies, verses 42 to 44. And so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. In other words, that seed dies, and then out comes the plant and it grows. But what is raised is imperishable. You see, no longer will we be weak and frail, but raised in power. And we see that in verse 43. The seed is sown in dishonor, which is the perishable, is raised in glory. Sown in weakness is raised in power. When we are in heaven, we will have bodies that do not ache, that do not have weakness built into them. If we have any infirmities, they will disappear and gone, because we will not be frail. There will be no Zimmer frames, no walking sticks, there will be no wheelchairs. None of that will be in heaven. We'll have resurrected bodies that are imperishable. In other words, they don't decay, they don't perish away. There's no wasting disease. There will be no diseases in heaven, in glory. So we'll have a real heavenly body that will be imperishable. He also goes on, Paul says, that we'll have a spiritual body, verses 49. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spirit. The first man is the earth, second man is the heaven. You see, we're going to have spiritual bodies. Yes, we will have a heavenly body that we'll be able to feel and touch, and we'll be able to hug, and we'll be able to touch others, and we'll be able to see and hold things. But there'll be a spiritual body. There'll be a work of God in us. We won't actually be like dust, like Adam, who then died and was buried and decayed, but we'll have a spiritual body. That spiritual body will be fit for heaven. There's a fitness for it. Then we'll have, fourthly, we shall bear the image of Jesus. Have a look at verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15. Just as we are born the image of the man of dust, that is, we are made after Adam, with flesh and blood, we should also bear the image of the man of heaven. The man of heaven is Paul's reference to Jesus Christ. We will have the image of Jesus. We should be like him. We shall bear his image. We shall be like Jesus. Whole. We will be like exactly how God intended man to be created when he made heaven and earth. He made everything, and on the sixth day he made and created Adam and Eve and breathed life into them to be whole. Fifthly, we shall have bodies that are changed, verses 50 to 52, 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot get onto SpaceX and fly off with Elon Musk and actually get yourselves off and think, well, I'm going to get into heaven that way, because flesh and blood will not enter heaven. In fact, Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, ascended with a resurrected body. There was still the essence of Jesus there, but when he walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they did not know who was walking with them. And he explained everything that was happened in Jerusalem and reasoned from the scriptures, everything that was taught about what would happen to the Messiah. And it's only when Jesus opened their eyes, they then realized it was Jesus who was talking with them. Did not their hearts burn within them? They knew there was something special about this man. So it's not flesh and blood, we'll have a resurrected body. But then they knew who it was when their eyes were open, they recognized and saw Jesus in the resurrected form. And when we come into heaven, our bodies will be whole and complete, but will be changed. You see, when we're changed, verse 51, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all asleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Twice, Paul emphasizes the fact that we'll be changed. Yes, we will be with a resurrected body, but there still be elements of us to recognize one another, but we will be changed. That defective eyesight will be gone. You will not need spectacles. Specsavers will not be in business in heaven. That bad knee you have, that hip that's been playing up, the arthritis that you have been carrying with you in your body is gone. That cancer that you've been dealing with is gone. All of those issues that you have dealt with in your life that have limited your ability in a bodily form, an earthly body, will be gone. We will be changed. And it will come in the twinkling of an eye. It will come so quickly that we will be changed. And lastly, we shall bear immortal bodies, verses 53 to 57. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. You see, no longer perishable, but immortal. No longer aging, no longer arthritis, no dementia. There no longer be birthdays. We won't need to celebrate the years passing by as we grow older, because we will have immortality. We will have bodies that function as God intended, as whole, but we will have a certain age. Now, someone asked me the question the other week, what age were we going to be? Are we going to enter into heaven in our 80s and 90s? Are we going to be in our teenage years? Are we going to be in a prime of our life, whatever that is, in our 20s or 30s? We're not told. There's a lack of detail as to what age. But we will be immortal. we'll be of a certain age that we'll be able to enjoy the presence of God, to worship and praise him, to meet other saints who have gone before us, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will recognize one another. Why do I say that? Because in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus is transfigured on the mount, the three disciples that Jesus chose recognized that he was talking with Elijah and Moses. Now, how do they know that it was Elijah and Moses? Well, Jesus was talking with them. They could see them. They were physical bodies. But Jesus knew who they were. And they had glorified bodies, resurrected bodies. They were with Jesus there. And Jesus shone without whiteness. There was a precursor of his resurrected body. So our heavenly bodies will be the same yet different. There will be a continuity and sameness. Just like the apple seed that you plant in the ground, you will be expecting an apple tree to come to bear fruit. And in every apple that's bearing fruit will be an apple seed ready to reproduce. So what is our response to the reality that we'll have a heavenly body? One is real, tangible, imperishable, spiritual, fit for heaven, bears the image of Jesus Christ, that our bodies will be changed, we no longer have the physical restraints and limitations, and we'll have immortal bodies that will live forever. What is our response? Well, Paul gives us the answer to that at the end of chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, in light of everything I've been telling you about what you're going to be like when you have a resurrected body, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, know that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. In other words, be steadfast, immovable, be faithful, continue to serve the Lord where he's placed you, in your family, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your neighbours, in church. Continue to serve him because your labour is not in vain. Because we already have a home that awaits us. And that home is going to be given us a new resurrected body where we will recognise one another and we will actually be able to have fellowship one another. Imagine sitting down with Martin Luther and asking, why did he nail those 95 theses to the door? Speaking and sitting down with Calvin, saying, Calvin, I never really got your Institutes. It was just too deep and too big for me. Can you just give me a 5-minute appraisal and just, you know, really sum up exactly what you're looking about? We're sitting down with Moses and Joshua and say, what was he really like fleeing the Egyptians and going through that wilderness? And Joshua taking the people across and fighting all those battles. We were sitting down with people like King David and saying, what was it like to be a shepherd boy who suddenly became a king and ruled one of the greatest nations of that time? We'll be sitting down with other people, maybe one of your favourites, missionaries, and say, well, what was the struggle really like serving there in China or in Africa or the Middle East or in South America? We will have all of those opportunities to meet, talk, explore, and just think of the thousands of people that have gone before us who have trusted in Christ. We'll never have a lack of meeting someone. There will always be someone new that we can meet and talk with and share with and really have that testimony about the Lord's providence and goodness in bringing them to faith in Christ. So, question, will there be male and female in heaven? The reason I say that is because in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus says about this topic of marriage, that in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So will there actually be a male and female? Will there still be genders? Will we actually have, as God created, man and woman in heaven with a heavenly resurrected body. We have to remember that angels are spiritual beings, and they can appear, but they don't, what we can have, a physical body. They have and operate in the spiritual realm. We see that with the archangels. We see that with the angels who appear to the shepherds and announce the arrival of Jesus Christ in the incarnation. We see it when Daniel sees a vision of the battle that's going on and why Michael was detained, because he was fighting a spiritual warfare. It never says that the angels had resurrected bodies. That is reserved for those made in the image of God. Angels themselves are sinless, except for those who rebelled against God, who have been thrown out of heaven, and who are now operate as demons and spiritual forces, the archenemy being Satan himself, who fell from heaven because of his pride in wanting to be like God. So we will not be like angels with a spiritual, ethereal body, but we'll have real bodies. And we'll be reunited with our bodies and soul at the resurrection. And if you're made in the image of God, God has made you either a man or a woman, made in his image. That was the beauty of his creation. When he had made man and made woman, he stepped back on the last of the 6 days and said, "It is very good." Not just good, it is very good. He could see the accomplishment, the climax of his creation was forming both man and woman. And in heaven, we will have that gender still. We should be like him with resurrected, glorious bodies, reflecting who God has made us, and we'll be reunited, soul and body together. We won't need sexual intimacy, because there won't be any marriage or marrying. We will have all of our pleasure will come from being with God and to worship the Lamb, to be with his people, where there will be no more sin, no temptations, no distractions. There will be no essence and consequence of sinful behaviour, because sin will be banished. It will no longer be there. We'll have new bodies, and we will be able to enjoy each other's company and exploring God's word and exploring who God is, enjoying his presence and worshipping him. Amen.